Today I would like to call your attention to a passage of Scripture in the book of James. The book of James is a very, very important book in the Word of God. It is a book that is often misunderstood, and it is a book that many people have not thoroughly grasped what the Apostle James is saying. But be that as it may, I want to read verses 13 through 16 in chapter 1. That's James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And after the Apostle James gives this discourse on sin, this matter of God not being tempted with sin, and how sin comes into the human race, and how it comes into the life of the human, he ends by saying in verse 16, do not err, do not err. So do not be mistaken. Do not make an error when it comes to sin. For making an error when it comes to sin can be a very, very dastardly mistake. It can be a terrible mistake. It can have consequences that are eternal consequences. Now, there are three things here in these verses that I'd like to call your attention to on the broadcast today, just preaching what the Word of God has to say. First of all, God cannot be tempted with evil. That's the first thing that we're going to discuss. God cannot be tempted with evil. The second thing, man is tempted to evil by his own lust. That's the second thing that we'll talk about. The third thing that we'll talk about from these verses is sin brings death. Now, those are the three points of the message. I do not always do that, but I feel like it would be of a benefit for you to know exactly where we're headed in the message today. First of all, then, God cannot be tempted with evil. Now, that's what the Scripture says here. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So you can never, then, blame God for your temptations. That is, the temptation or the solicitation to evil. Now keep that in your mind. There is a difference in testing. And that difference in testing is this. The word temptation can either be solicitation to evil, or it can mean a testing in time of trial. Now, the Lord does test. He does allow test to come into the life of the Christian. But he never tempts anyone to evil. He never solicits anyone to evil. Never does God cause a person to be tempted into evil, even to the point of being tempted to evil in order for the end results to be good. So that's a settled fact in the Bible. Furthermore, God cannot himself be tempted with evil. There is no way that he could succumb to evil. Now, that creates a little bit of a problem in many folks' mind when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, who is God, and he was in a human body. And frankly, I believe he was just as much God when he was on this earth as he is God right now, and as he has always been God. Therefore, I do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ could have responded to the temptation that he underwent in the wilderness. I do not believe that he, as God, was enticed. Now, as man, he was perhaps tempted, but not as God in the flesh. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I'm sure you don't. I'm sure if you understood that, you would be as wise and omniscient as God is. I don't understand it either, but I believe it with all of my heart. God cannot be tempted with evil. Therefore, God is not responsible for evil at all. And therefore, he permits evil in the universe. Now, why does he do that? He is in charge, is he not? He is in charge. He is in absolute control. Therefore, why does he permit sin? I have that question asked me often. If God is righteous, and if there is a God, as you speak of him, and as the Bible speaks of him, why doesn't he just do away with Satan? Why doesn't he just do away with all evil and all sin and make everything righteous? Well, praise God, one of these days he will. He will one day. He will destroy all unrighteousness, and he will bring about eternity of complete and total righteousness. So why does he allow it now? Why is it prevalent today? Well, the divine recognition of the creature's free choice is what causes God to allow evil to exist. Now, he does not condone evil. He does not take part in evil. He is God, and he certainly cannot have evil in any sense of the word. And he cannot be tempted with evil. But he is able to allow evil to continue. He did not institute it. That was instituted by Satan. Lucifer, one of his beings, one of his creatures that he had created long before he created this earth. And Satan, or Lucifer, brought sin into the universe. Now God allows it, and he leaves it and allows it, does not destroy it at this given time, simply because he recognizes that every man that is created by God, Adam created, and all the rest of the men born to Adam, they have a free choice. And so God allows evil to remain so that man can have a free choice. If all evil was removed, all sin was removed by God, which it will be eventually, but if it were done now, then man would not have the choice. And he would not come before God as his son or as a part of his family, but he would come as a creature that was forced into righteousness, and that would bring no glory to God. And so in order to bring glory to God, God gave man a free choice. And that's the reason he allows evil in the world. And it will be allowed until he is finished calling out a bride for his name and completing the family of God. When that is complete, then judgment will begin to fall upon this earth, and in God's own time, he will destroy all evil. Another thing that evil is in the world for, and God allows it to be in the world for, is God's creature needs to acquire knowledge. In other words, to properly serve God, to make the proper choice that we need to make in order to glorify God with our choice, then we must know the difference between good and evil. And if evil were gone, there would be no knowledge of evil. Man needs to know not only the difference between good and evil, but he needs to know the sinfulness of sin. He needs to see that. We would never be able to appreciate what God has done for us through Christ on the cross if we did not see and recognize the sinfulness, the awful, dark sinfulness of sin. And then we need to recognize not only that, but we need to recognize God's judgment on sin. Now, we're constantly seeing that. We read it in the Bible over and over again, where God brought judgment on sin. Now, we can see it around us. We can see God bringing judgment on sin. Now, there are many who disagree with this, but just the same, I have a right to believe this. I have a right to my own opinion. I believe that this terrible AIDS epidemic that is sweeping, beginning to sweep, and probably in our generation will sweep drastically the world. This terrible AIDS epidemic that we have, I believe, due to the nature of its transmission, due to the fact that it comes, for the most part, it at least originated there. Now, there are some innocent people with AIDS, and we understand that. There are those who have contacted the disease through blood in transfusions in the hospitals when they were perfectly innocent. That's where the righteous suffers with the unrighteous. But the basic way that AIDS is transmitted, the way it began and got started and then has been transmitted to the point where it is now, is the way of sin and iniquity and ungodliness, either through drugs or illicit sex practices. So therefore, I believe the disease is a judgment of God. I believe in the past God has sent venereal diseases to try to show men, to try to awaken men to the terrible thing of sin and the results and the wrath of God against sin. I just believe that. I believe this is a judgment, and I believe that God is yet going to speak through this judgment. All right, so we need to know then something about the wrath of God and the judgment of God. And sin, of course, allows us to know that. And then I think another thing that we need to know concerning God allowing sin in the universe is to learn the value of the redeemed beings. In other words, whenever a man is redeemed, he is redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we learn where that blood came from, and we learn what it cost the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, then we understand the value of a soul. And the value of one soul, the Bible says, is worth more than all the world. And one of the ways that we know that is it took Jesus Christ from heaven, incarnate in human flesh, suffering an eternal torment of hell in order. Now, he didn't go to hell. I always try to make that qualification, but he suffered an eternity of God's judgment on the cross. Being God, he could do that. And he suffered that for you and for me. And he would have done that if we had been the only ones lost. Therefore, we see the value of a soul. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And the price of a soul is beyond our imagination. It cost heaven its greatest gift. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ an eternity of suffering. It caused him to be ridiculed. And we could go on and on at the price that Jesus paid. And the only way we can learn the value of a soul is to see the price that Jesus paid in order to redeem a soul. Another thing that we can see when God allows sin to exist in the universe is a demonstration of God's hatred for evil. In other words, with sin in the universe, we have God demonstrating his hate for that sin. And we see that very definitely all around us. And then we also see the manifestation of God's grace. Yes, because sin abounds, and because sin is allowed by God. Now, he can permit sin to be. He can permit its existence without any taint of sin on him. Now, he can do that because he is God, and he has his reasons for doing that. One of those reasons is to manifest his marvelous grace. You see, the angels knew the wisdom of God. And there are many created beings called angels. Many. We do not know how many, but they are multitudinous. Probably more angels than there ever have been men. But these angels do not have the free choice that man has. So angels then see the wisdom of God. Angels saw the power of God. They saw the power of creation. They see the power of God's ability to speak the word and to speak stars into existence and to speak a universe such as we have that is indescribable into existence. They saw the power of God. They see the holiness of God, and they bow before the holiness of God. But until sin entered the human race, they had not and did not see the grace of God. They had no way of understanding the grace of God, God's love for the sinner while he hates the sin. They could not see that until sin entered the human race. Now, God did not design sin. God did not institute sin. But since Satan did, God uses that to show even the angels in heaven his marvelous, marvelous grace. Now let's go to the second thing. Man is tempted to evil by his own lust. In other words, you want to know why men go wrong, why they sin? It's not that God brings it about. Really, it's not so much that Satan brings about their temptation. He says here, when lust, every man is tempted, verse 14, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So the temptation to sin then comes from within. One of the famous cop-outs, and I'll use a worldly expression there, but one of the famous cop-outs of wicked people today is, the devil made me do it. Well, I've got news for you. The devil didn't make you do anything. If you drank whiskey, it was your own lust. If you committed adultery, it was your own lust. If you killed somebody, it was your own lust. If you blaspheme, it's because of your own lust. And every man is tempted of his own lust. And the flesh is responsible for your being tempted. You, your flesh on the inside, not some outward force somewhere. You are tempted from the outside in some areas, but the response to that comes from your own lust on the inside. And don't blame anybody else for it. If you sin, it's because of your own lust. And the third thing that we learn here is sin brings death. He said, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Sin is responsible for physical death in the universe. Physical death is in the universe because of sin. That's where it started, and that's the reason men die. Sin brings spiritual death. Men will die forever in eternal hell because of sin, because of refusing to have that sin put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, if you're not a born-again child of God, then you flee the wrath of God and flee into the loving arms of a wonderful Savior and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. If you need help, we have a book entitled Born Again. We'll send you that. It'll show you just exactly how to be born again. All you must do is write for it. We'll be happy to send it, for we want you to be saved by God's marvelous grace.